Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. This has been a graduation weekend. Not everybody has young people in school anymore, but we had some high school graduates, and it was fun to be at their graduation and see them stepping out, taking the next phase of their lives. Some of them had definite dreams that they want to see fulfilled and work through. Some are going to school, which is very ambitious. Some are joining the military. We're thankful for that. And some are entering the workforce. So we may be seeing some of them around the valley still. But others are looking for something to fill their time until they know more about what they want to do. God's word speaks to all of us, though, and as though we were just in the graduate shoes, too, because some know perfectly well what God's will is for their lives. Others are not lined out so clearly and keep on living and feeling a bit directionally challenged. But we do have spiritual direction in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the last verse down there, verse 31, says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And Peter also helps us with words to deal with our relationships and how to live as God wants us to. And so we're going to read down in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, and go through 13, or verse 12. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you used men to write, and you are communicating God, and you communicated your words through people that it might be reproduced over and over again. Your spirit guiding, and your spirit helping the hearers, the recipients, those that are able to benefit from the word now. And Lord, we're among those. We want to benefit. We want to grow. We want to understand what your will would be for us. And I thank you that in this congregation we can consider your word. We just present ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this has a lot of little details in it, but I'd like for us to consider for a while what God really wants for us to pick up from this and how it's going to work out in our lives. He wants us to grow by the word, not just listen and go out and do our own thing again, but to take advantage of the opportunity, God, by your spirit, work in my heart that I might continue to grow. And one of the ambitions of the Apostle Paul was that he might present every man, every person mature in Christ. And as long as we're still breathing, as long as we're still here, we have room to grow. And so we want to grow up in the knowledge of the Lord and follow his ways. So I'm going to jump down to the last phrase of verse 9. You may inherit a blessing. And I'd like to consider just for a few moments that God would have us inherit a blessing, a spiritual blessing. God wants to give it. We need to be the recipient. And God wants to give his blessing. But his blessing comes with a word. The blessing comes with a word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and or chapter 5 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul was speaking and writing and going back clear to the beginning, clear to the book of Genesis, clear to the very beginning of Genesis, the creation. And he wrote, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake." And then verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Going clear back, what kind of God do we have? A God who speaks light and life into our lives. He desires us to know him. He speaks that word, giving us life, opening our understanding and giving us light. So the Lord Jesus, when he was praying with his disciples, we might call it the Lord's Prayer, actually. It's John chapter 17. And as he began his prayer to the Father in the presence of his 11 disciples that were there, he prayed this: "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." To know God is eternal life. It's not something we do. It's the person we know. "This is eternal life, that they may know you," Jesus prayed. God's blessing comes with that word. God's blessing is his abiding presence in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Jesus said, God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." His blessing is that he's always with us. We're never alone. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, some people can be in situations where they feel alone. But we don't live our life on feeling. We can recall what God said. And whether it's in a hospital bed, whether it's in the emergency room, whether we're in the room preparing for surgery and nobody's there, and we think, "Oh, I'm alone." It can be going through circumstances that we don't know who to go to. But God promised, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And the blessing of his presence. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 16 that he was going to go away, but he would send another counselor, another comforter, who would be with us always, be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, is with us forever. It's not what we feel. It's what God promised he would do. "I will never leave you. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever." And how is that? When you invite the Lord Jesus to come into your life and forgive your sin, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our bodies, in us. He said, "I'll never leave you." He will be with us forever. And what he does is bring peace into every situation. After writing about being anxious and being able to present our requests to God, he said, "Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests to God." You can pray. And then what happens? The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Who brings that peace? God does, the Holy Spirit. And he brings us the peace. We can release all our anxious thoughts, all our worries, all our concerns, our fears. We can bring them to him. There's something that he does. I really like hearing the stories that people have told me, and you've probably heard them too, of people being anxious, of being fearful, of not knowing what's going to happen, even in relationships. You know, I'm supposed to meet this person, and on and on. And you tell a story, and there's this buildup of anxiety. anticipating a surgery and starting to worry about this. You know, there have been people who've died going through this kind of surgery. And then the peace of God settles their hearts. God's with. God's present. And in Colossians 3:15, it says the peace of Christ can rule in our hearts. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God would have us inherit the blessing. He also blesses us with his provision for our needs. In Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what we get from this that Peter wrote, you may inherit a blessing. God wants us to. He wants people to walk life's pathway with him. And he's the blesser as we go through life. He wants to give us what we need. He wants us to understand he's always with us, that we have a companion, we have a savior, we have a shepherd, we have a God, the God of the universe that cares for us. But if we read that verse and only go back a couple words, it says, so that. There's something that took place earlier that he says, so that you may inherit the blessing. Well, we need to go back and catch up with that. Refers back to the instructions. Because God would have us, the second point, God would have us to extend a blessing ourselves. So we go back to verse 8 and we start over again. Finally. Paul's not saying, I'm done writing, because we keep on reading. There's another chapter 4 ahead of us. But finally, this subject that I've been talking about, Peter writes, is drawing to a conclusion. And so he's been talking about submission to government. He's been talking about being servants of God, so live in submission to government. Slaves, submit to your masters. Even Jesus submitting to the Father and commending himself to him who judges righteously. So he submitted himself to his heavenly Father, as we are instructed to do also. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. And husbands, be submissive, in not as a wife does, but in the same way, be considered as you live with your wives. Finally, okay, to summarize this, bring it to a closing, wrap it all up, all of you, because not everybody's a wife. I'm not. Not everybody's a husband. Ladies aren't. Everybody, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Okay, live in harmony. You know what the translation of that Greek would be? Be one-minded. Live in harmony. These things that could pull people apart, live in harmony. And I got to thinking about this. You know, there's enough tension in the world. There's enough division in the world. There's enough tragedy in the world. There's enough destruction of lives and hatred and suspicions and distrust in the world. Somehow we're not to be of the world. We're to be different. We're to do things differently. Think about things differently. And we are to be harmonious with one another. So as Barry Manilow sang, are you ahead of me already? Let's sing it. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, da 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 da. Did he have it right? Is love needed rather than distrust and hatred? Those words are right. The idea behind those words are probably radically different from what God is talking about. God's not talking about just overlook everything, don't be involved in anything, and just love. No. With your eyes wide open, God wants us to participate in our community, in our world, being the kind of people who love. Being the kind of people who extend a blessing. Because we who love God live for His glory and live in harmony. I read a book about Wilbur and Orville Wright. They built an airplane. They actually flew a machine. This book was about that thick, and it was very, very interesting because these two brothers had one goal. And sometimes they built something and tried to fly it, and they were on the East Coast, and they'd take off from these sand dunes and try and get the wind coming and just get enough lift, get it off. And off, they didn't want to get very high because sometimes they met the ground rather abruptly. And that was, they didn't want to have that kind of shocking experience. There was a race going on. And in Europe, the different countries were trying to build a flying machine. And they'd have all kinds of designs. And there were men who died trying to fly something and get this going for their country. Wilbur and Orville Wright didn't always get it right. And wanted to come up with a design. They would watch the gulls and they would watch the birds. How are they flying? And what kind of formulas do they come up mathematically? Not the birds. They do it naturally. But how can we come up with a formula mathematically? Figure out the dynamics of flying. And they were so diligent about this, sometimes they would disagree. This is going, no, I don't think it will. It doesn't fit. And they would go and talk about it. But you know what? They never argued to a point where they would say, I'm done with this thing. You take it and fill out your own formulas. Together, they were in harmony because they had one goal. They were working toward what they were interested in was flying. Not whether that idea worked instead of mine, but to get something put together that would lift off and stay in the air. And you know they did it. You know they did. And the things that are produced now came from all that work. But they were able to produce an aircraft that actually flew and could turn and could land. That was very important too. Get back to the ground. And they did that because they had one thing in common. So when we read these things from God, He says, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Be careful not to be judgmental. Be sympathetic. We have something together to accomplish. What was that? To glorify God in everything we do and in our relationships, have our relationships point out that we're following a God who created all things to be harmonious. Sin has destroyed that. And so in Christ, He's bringing us back together. And we are to be a blessing by the way we live together. What are we here for? Keeps coming up. Our question of how do we get along? How can we live together? How can we work together? How can we associate when so many of us have different backgrounds? Because we have one thing in common, serving the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying God in all that we do. Compassion. There's an attractive humility. And these go far in pointing the world to another source of life. So first of all, we honor each other within the family of God. That's our aim. Honor God by honoring one another. But then the secondary thing is with practice, we also seek to bless everyone with God's love. We're going to be thinking about this, I hope, that we reject the way of the world. The way of the world is to do unto others as they do to you, or do unto others before they do to you. We reject that. Do to others as they do to you. What's the blessing? Do unto others as Jesus has done to us. Have the view of people as Jesus sees people. I was thinking about Bartimaeus. You remember blind Bartimaeus? He needed an optometrist, and there was no such thing back then. And Jesus was walking along, and Bartimaeus was blind. And he was hollering out, "Jesus, Son of David, here I am, here I am, here I am." And the crowd of people that were walking with Jesus were telling him to shut up. The master doesn't want to be bothered by the likes of you. We hear you every single time we walk by. Help me, alms for the poor. You know, I'm blind. I can't see. I need some way of getting some income. And they said, just be quiet. Don't bother the master with your hollering and shouting. What did Jesus say? What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Jesus healed his eyes. The blessing of Jesus was not to see people as everyone else did, but to see Bartimaeus and all those with leprosy, all those that were sick that they brought to Jesus. He saw them as souls that needed a Savior. He saw them in bodies that needed his help. He saw them as precious. So what's God calling us to do when he says, be compassionate, be sympathetic, be humble, get over our hang-ups? I think we all have one or more. And we have hang-ups. And we see certain people and we say, oh, good grief, why don't they just leave? Why bother us? Why come to my house? What do you want? No, sometimes people don't even know what they want. And yet God wants us to be the kind of person who blesses rather than judge, who blesses rather than put off, who would say, I can't help you. No. Instead, give a blessing. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. With blessing. We can have all sorts of reactions, and we did when a young couple was out here a couple weeks ago now and needed help. They did not ask for help. They didn't say, here's our need, would you please help us? They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to expect. You know, there are some places, and people, maybe you have, been kicked off a Walmart parking lot. Has anyone here been kicked off a Walmart parking lot? Yeah. And they'll do that. They'll come out and say, well, you've parked clear out here away from all the cars with your RV. What's your intentions? Well, we thought maybe we'd just kind of camp out here. We're going down the road, and this is a big parking lot. It has plenty of room. Would you please hit the road, Jack? Do not stay. Is that a blessing? No. Anybody who's been kicked off thinks that was not a blessing. They do not know what to expect when they come here. Are they like Walmart? Or is there something about Jesus that's here? You know what I have to do? I have to cycle that. I have to work this out. Because there's something in me that's possessive. It's called flesh. It's called sinful nature. There's something in me that God wants to transform, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can live out and approve God's will, that good and perfect will of God. He wants to work that out. And He's going to give us the opportunities to do that. And He's going to bring people along in different situations into our life where we say, first off, perhaps, I don't want anything to do with this person. I hope someone helps them. I hope someone else steps up to the plate. Oh, and God's saying to us, you're it. You're it. Because my intention for every single one of my children would be what God calls us. Those that belong to me, those who have been set apart to me, they're sanctified, they're purified by the blood of Jesus, is to bless other people. But I can't save anybody. God never told you to. God never said, go out and save people. He said, scatter the word, scatter the seed, bless people, and God will work on the inside. You don't close the door on them so that they resist back and shut their door too. Don't shut the door. Bless people. And Peter turned this to the Old Testament to confirm this blessing. And he said, for whoever would love life and see good deeds must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. That's King James. Deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The right thing that God wants us to pursue is to seek to be a blessing from God to others. The Old Testament teaches that it is good to love life, to see good days. And what He wants us to see is that it's a blessing from God that we can pass on to others. We have more and more opportunities the longer our lives go. He doesn't say just snuff out your life. He doesn't say count your life as miserable, but love good days. Love those dimes, those opportunities that God is able to move in your life and pass it on to others. God commends the righteous. From the Old Testament, it says that. And the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. It's not my desire to tell others what to do. I'm hoping to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to say, hey guys, ladies and gentlemen, young people, follow me as I follow Christ. To be able to do that, to be able to say, hey, we're in this boat together. We need to learn how to do this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 gives us a clue and a key to how to do it. How to be a blessing to others. How God blesses us is blessing us with His presence, with the Holy Spirit living in us and providing all that we need. Ephesians 5:18 says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's something that goes on time after time after time after time. When we received Jesus, the Holy Spirit took up residence with us. But not all the doors of our life were open to him. We still wanted to do our own thing in a lot of ways. So be filled. Open up your life. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the resources. And this is what he gives us, Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace, patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Peter concluded that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 when he said, His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God gives us what we need. I don't know what your day holds today. I have an idea of what I'm going to be doing. But in thinking about every morning, what's this day hold? I don't know. God, will you fill me with your Spirit? Help me to see people in these circumstances as you do, so that in my life I might be a blessing to others. That with my words I might bless, not curse, not belittle, not condemn, but I would bless people with words. Point them to Jesus. Let them see Jesus. Can we do that in the morning? About noon again? Refresh that? You pray before you eat, don't you? In the evening, God, thank you for what you've done. Well, in this small section of the New Testament, we've been exhorted to submit to God's order and his authority. We're encouraged to follow his will, as expressed in the Bible, in order to experience life as God intended. Then we will receive a great blessing and favor from the Lord and give to others grace and blessing, which might save their lives as we live with eternity in view. Perhaps you're here this morning and this speaking of eternity, of living with Christ in us, maybe that hasn't been your experience. You may be curious. The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that he died for our sins and rose again, we will be saved. And I'd invite you to do that today. If you haven't done that before, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, Master, Creator, God. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. Would you pray with me? And Lord, in the truth of your word, we want to respond. This is life. This is eternal life, that we know you through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us to be a blessing as we go. Help us to seek to encourage, to pray for, to lift up whoever it is that you bring into our path, into our lives. And we commit ourselves to the work and grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.